Welcome to this episode of Real Space Strategy. I'm your host, Christopher Stone, Senior Fellow for Space Deterrence and Warfighting at the National Institute for Deterrence Studies in Washington, D.C. Real Space Strategy exists to provide you, the listener, a reality check on U.S. space policy and strategy, while giving you insight into the processes required to achieve a credible deterrent and warfighting posture for the United States Space Force. The views expressed by the host and guests in Real Space Strategy are those of the host and guests and are not to be attributed or considered part of any government entity or private sector company. As the new Congress and administration gets settled in and new appointees enter key policy and strategy leadership roles in the Pentagon, there have been many competing narratives in the media and political spheres regarding national strategy. So to help everybody understand what's going on a little bit more, in this episode, I thought it would be helpful and informative to share with you all that might not be aware of how these processes work, how priorities are created in the Defense Department. But first, let's define some terms. To keep it simplified, I will focus on the following three main components: priorities, resources, and weights of effort. What do we mean by priority? A priority is defined as something given or meriting attention before competing alternatives. In other words, there is an order and sequence of importance to things that our government believes it should be doing strategically, operationally, or tactically that is necessary for strategic advantage or defense of national interests. Each of these priorities are important. Putting them in an order and sequence does not make them less important, but a nation cannot do everything at once, especially in a resource-constrained environment as we have been for a few decades. So in order to properly allocate or apportion, as it's sometimes termed, there needs to be a list of things we must do, and that is what priorities are, nationally, militarily, economically, etc. Next is resources. Resources is a general term that includes all that might be required to successfully address the priorities, whatever those are. This includes people, funding, equipment, weapons, etc. Anything that can help achieve the prioritized actions and their sub-level objectives and tasks needed to achieve and succeed in making that priority be successful. As mentioned earlier, when in a contested environment or a constrained environment, not every priority will get the same amount or type of resources. In some cases, a higher priority might get less resources despite their sequence in the prioritization of strategic actions. This leads us to the last area, weights of effort. A weight of effort refers to the focus of resources and actions to achieve a goal or strategic priority. It's a concept that the Commander-in-Chief, Congress, and other officers executing strategy and policy for the country use to shift resources in priorities to achieve decisive results. As I was alluding to earlier, just because you oversee executing the highest national priority or the highest military priority, world events might shift the weight of effort to be higher in a lower priority. That does not mean that top priority is any less important, but for near-term or other strategic reasons, resources, limited resources, must be reapportioned or reallocated to support that lower priority. All right, so now that I've given you these terms, let's apply that to what is going on in current events regarding discussions between the executive branch and the legislative branch on the next future strategy for the United States, both military and foreign policy. For example, Senator McConnell, who is now chairman of the Defense Subcommittee of the Senate Appropriations Committee, in other words, he's the person who helps create the military budget for the vote with the House version, when they have to combine them, obviously, he recently said that he was concerned about the incoming administration's policy leadership that have positions or thoughts that the Middle East is somehow not as important as, say, China or Russia. That is not really the argument, but in politics, sometimes statements are made to highlight an area of interest to a member of Congress that they believe should be higher up the priority list. And that list may not be what the president or senior appointees believe they should be. So here's a way to explain the position of this individual and others that share the same view, using the terms that I just shared with you earlier. So let's say, hypothetically, that the policy of the United States is that China is the main strategic threat or adversary that should be addressed. Winning the competition for great power influence and security against Chinese efforts in the Indo-Pacific and beyond to supplant U.S. advantage, interests, and influence is priority number one. Priority two, let's say, again, this is hypothetical, but based on some reality, is the defense of our allies, partners, and interests in Europe, and that main adversary of concern, of course, is Russia. Priority 3 could be Iran and international Islamic terror organizations in the Middle East. That is priority 4. So again, this is a hypothetical list, but not too far off what is typically seen over the past few years. You have 3 main priorities strategically in the order of China, Russia, and Iran, with their proxies as a distant fourth. Initially, the resources are all allocated in the federal budget to give the most resources to countering China, second most resources to countering Russia, and the least number of resources go towards addressing the Iranian threat. So now, are we saying that Russia is not important? No. It's a major priority to ourselves and our allies in Europe to address the threat from Russia and to achieve advantage in the great power competition in Europe. However, is it a higher priority than the Middle East? Is the Middle East no longer important? No, the Middle East is still very important, but it is a lower priority. Now let's say that the massive invasion occurs with Iran going into one of our vital strategic partners in the region like Saudi Arabia or Israel. Will the priorities change? Probably not. Will the resources change? That is a possibility. The reason why resources might change to stem the tide of an Iranian advance, which could be supplied, by the way, by both China and Russia anyway, the weight of effort of priority 1 and 2 might be reduced, and the weight of effort for the Middle East might go up. More resources will go into defeating the threat of Iranian aggression or intimidation for the time being, so priority 1 would have less resources but still more than the second priority of Russia, and the Middle East would have some increase in resource due to the shift in the weights of effort. Once this situation is resolved one way or another in the Middle East, the weights of effort in each strategic area will change again. Based on the strategic objectives sought within the priority areas, according to the guidance from the National Security Strategy, National Defense Strategy, National Military Strategy, all of these plus other guidance coming out of the White House and Congress shape all of these things. So let's look at one thing that is important to note about all of this from a space strategy and policy standpoint. Our critical space infrastructure and other space power tools apply to all 3 priorities. They support the resources, equipment, and personnel involved in each of the areas and the weights of effort. For example, satellite systems, whether ISR or otherwise, are retasked based on priority and weight of effort all the time. However, while our system of space power assets have been good for supporting all of this stuff, it was not designed for a multipolar great power environment like this that includes robust space combat forces capable of destroying, denying, or degrading these critical space infrastructure assets. Why? Well, the reason is because space power is inherently strategic and directly enables or hurts a nation's instruments of national power. That includes all of them: diplomatic, information, military, and economic. While it was a pretty benign place, that is space, to operate for the past 25 years, that all began to shift rapidly in 2007. Yet we have never quite moved space power, strategic space power, to the higher level of national priority it is now due. Looking at this hypothetical strategic priority list of the world, all of these adversary players have invested heavily in space forces, with China leading the way on rapidly fielding space weapon systems on Earth and in space. We have, as a nation, tried to be the example, not wanting to be the first mover of deploying weapon systems in space to defend our assets and the whole adversary assets at risk on Earth as well as space. We wanted to be the good people and not to be seen as an aggressor. But as we have seen in the past 15 years or so, that ship has sailed. Weapons have been deployed in space and on Earth, geared toward targeting our vulnerable critical space infrastructure across all major orbital regimes. This includes space-to-ground weapons, such as fractional orbital bombardment systems like we saw China demonstrate in 2021, and a likely nuclear ASAT being pursued by Russia. In my view, it's beyond time that we give the Space Force we created in 2019 the priority of resources and the weight of effort necessary to protect our homeland, typically the primary strategic objective in our national security strategy, as well as our military forces and economic systems intertwine with the space infrastructure. Talk has begun about resources, where to take resources, make cuts, where to move resources from one area to the other, requirements that deem to be more vital to national security policy. Personally, I think the Space Force was born anemic and too small and lacking credible armed forces to hold enemy targets at risk and protect our own critical space infrastructure from attack. All these activities that we've done supporting terrestrial forces is important, but not the reason for a Space Force being created. Many have been talking about 8% cuts across the board to every single service. The Air Force, Army, and Navy, however, are orders of magnitude larger and fat in resources. If there is anything to cut, those three services are the place to go first. Space Force needs weapons and personnel to be the space superiority-based deterrence force our nation needs. So my thoughts are this. Defensive critical space infrastructure is a vital component of homeland defense and missile defense, and therefore should be treated as such. Accordingly, the prioritization and weights of effort to get Space Force where it should be a no-brainer if efforts like Golden Dome for America is to be a success. A lot of moving parts have to align, and a lot of work is required to get this done. But there is no better time than the present to get things fixed. I hope this quick review of prioritization, resources, and weights of effort, strategically and specifically regarding space, have been illuminating to those unfamiliar with these things, and help you to be educated as you do your patriotic duty as citizens to be involved and thoughtful in the policy process of our nation. But for now, this is Christopher Stone with Real Space Strategy. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to Real Space Strategy. The Real Space Strategy edition is produced under NIDS Podcasting Network, a division of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies. NIDS is a 501c3 organization dependent on donations to provide this podcast and bring about awareness of the peacekeeping value of U.S. strength and our national deterrence. You can catch all of our podcasts or provide feedback at thinkdeterrence.com. I want to thank our producer, Kimberly Sherrington, our sponsors, and all the fantastic members of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies for making this podcast possible. Stay tuned next week for another exciting and informative NIDS Knowledge.